Tonight we pray with the fourth word. And different lists change the order of the fourth and the fifth word, but following last week's "Behold your mother, behold your son," this passage from John picks up right where that left off. And so that's what we will contemplate this evening. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine. So he put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. In this simple statement of our Lord thirsting, there's a lot going on. These are very rich words, even though in the original language it would have just been one word. First thing to look at is the Passover meal. It is proposed by some theologians, and at this point it is just a proposal. But what our Lord is doing is completing the Passover meal. But at the Passover, the chalice, the cup that our Lord used to institute the Eucharist, the one that we use at every Mass, some believe is the third cup before, the cup of blessing, rooted in Paul's language of referring it to as just that, the cup of blessing, which we bless. And if this idea is right, what Jesus is doing is finishing the meal on the cross, finishing the fact that he is the perfect lamb, the lamb sacrificed for us, giving us the opportunity for salvation, to be saved, just as in the first Passover. The idea is also brought to mind in the fact that a hyssop branch is used. That is what was used to spread the blood on the doorposts, the lintels. And if this is the case, and even if it's not, it bears our meditation, our prayer. Everything up until this point, the words we've already prayed with, are part of the Passover meal, a part of the sacrifice. And think of those themes as they relate to the Passover, to our celebration of every Mass. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Mercy, reconciliation. Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Salvation, redemption. The whole reason our Lord came to save us. And relationship and protection with our Blessed Mother. He tells Mary to behold us and tells us to behold her. Again, all of that is in the context of this meal. But the source is somewhat of our faith, the Mass, the Eucharist. These beautiful themes are before us right now as we contemplate and gaze upon our Lord in adoration. The word thirst is also a very rich word throughout all of the Gospels, but especially in John's text. John begins his public ministry of Jesus in recounting the wedding at Cana, where our Lord takes care of the thirst, this couple, and their guest. Again, at the prompting of his mother, listening to her, allowing her to guide and intercede for this couple. As we heard this last Sunday in our gospel, a couple of chapters later, a Samaritan woman. We asked the woman to give him a drink. And he says, anybody who drinks of the water that I have to offer will never thirst. A perfect satiation. Later in John, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. Not once when our Lord speaks of thirst throughout the Gospels, it's just about water or drink. Every one of these exchanges deals with the depths of who we are, with our soul, with grace, our disposition to God. So we can assume that our Lord means more than just a physical thirst. We see at Cana, of course, that the simple water becomes much more than it was before. We could spend an entire night just contemplating this exchange, this miracle. but a couple of brief things to keep in mind. This is what our Lord does to us. We are like the simple water. But through a miracle, through his grace, the work of the Holy Spirit in our life becomes something more. But not just something more in wine, something better than we can imagine, better than we expect. Far too often we simplify or call back what God is trying to do in our life. The miracle shows us how much he wants to do for us. It also points to the fulfillment of the prophecies of old. When God comes into our life and we allow him to come into our business, come into our boats, to reference the gospel of the apostles, he makes it much better than we could ever hope for. The ultimate fulfillment of that, of course, will be heaven, which is why we go through this season of purgation, purification. The Samaritan woman, as we talked about on Sunday, this exchange is first asking her to let her guard down, to put down just for a moment her own desires, her own wants, to crack open just a little bit the door of her heart, to allow the Lord to come in. And in that exchange, he's able to give her again the water that will satisfy, will take care of every one of her needs. In that moment, she's given a share in his mission, a share in his work. She goes and she evangelizes and brings people to our Lord immediately, sharing in the work of God. In the John 7 passage, the text goes on to speak of the water that we get, the thirst that is taken care of, is a reception of the Holy Spirit at our baptism, where we not only get to do God's work, we become temples of God himself, where God himself comes to dwell within us. And this and so much more is what our Lord has in mind. This great love, this great exchange of persons, this opening up of ourselves before the Lord. You might also think briefly of the Beatitudes. In Matthew's account, Jesus begins his public ministry with three chapters of teaching. Beginning those are the Beatitudes, ways in which we live our life. One of them is those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Who could have hungered and thirsted for that more than our Lord? Imagine the great joy, the great excitement to anthropomorphize God, the ascension, when Jesus returns to the right hand of the Father. How beautiful that would have been. And every time we share in God's work, every time we let God work through us, especially when we pick up our crosses and follow those crosses that we don't choose, how much are we able to be satisfied? How much is God able to do in our lives? St. Teresa of Calcutta, the chapel that she established for her sisters, has these words, "I thirst," as a daily reminder of our Lord's love. She says this: "The general end of the missionaries of charity is to satiate the thirst of Jesus Christ on the cross for love and souls." To satiate the thirst of Jesus Christ on the cross for love and souls. It's the heart of what Jesus is about. When he comes to do his Father's will, the Father's will is to bring us home, to get us back in right relationship with him. What he tells us time and time again is to worship him correctly so that we can be in that right relationship, so we can have that exchange of persons. God created us out of love and for love. We enter into that through our share in Jesus' passion. He wants a deep, personal union with each one of us. We see that at different times in his public ministry. Again, the woman at the well is a perfect example. A sinner avoiding everybody else receives reconciliation through this encounter with Jesus. Every time we have failed, God stays faithful. Every time he could have turned his back on us, he beckons us home. He stays faithful. A part of our Lord's thirst for souls is to reconcile with every one of us every time we sin. That's why he gives us a beautiful sacrament of reconciliation, where every sin, no matter how grievous, if we have a contrite heart, can be forgiven. We can be reconciled with God. St. Pio, or Padre Pio, reflects on Jesus' agony in the garden, that in that moment, what made him sweat blood, what made that agony so painful, was that in his divinity, he was able to call to mind every sin that we would commit, every time we would fail him. And knowing those failures is what moved him to the cross, so he could reconcile with us, because he thirsted for us so deeply. And we, as Teresa of Calcutta tells us, are called to share in this thirst. We're to satiate the desire of Christ. We fulfill it by going out into the world to proclaim the good news and to invite others into relationship with our Lord. So how do we enter into that? First, we have to receive his love. We do that through prayer. One of the most beautiful ways for us to pray, and if we are wounded, we have not yet been healed by not allowing God to draw close to us. This can be awkward, it can even hurt. But to ask God to show you how he loves you. Imagine our Lord in whatever way speaks to you. Call to mind maybe one of the scenes of the gospel, where our Lord in his agony, Lord on the cross, our Lord resurrected. Imagine him before you. Ask him to show you how much he loves you, to draw you into that mystery. And then let him love you. And this can be one of the most difficult spiritual practices for any of the faithful, to allow God to love us completely. If you have any hesitation, try not to fight it. Let Jesus draw near. Maybe he'll give you a hug. Maybe he'll sit with you. Let him lead the way. And pray in thanksgiving for that love. Pray that we can grow in greater appreciation for it and of it each and every day. And once we've received that love, we offer it. Every day, we need to look for people to love. We've said before, as our Lord is carrying his cross, as our Lord is on the cross, he does nothing but look for people to love. Nothing but look for people to continue to minister to. As we go through our lives, we need to have an eye out for the people that we can minister to, in even the most simple of ways. Taking care of some of their most basic needs. Letting God work through us. In our Lenten journey of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, start by praying for your enemies, asking God to bless them. Remembering those words where our Lord begged the Father for mercy. Fast. Offer our penances for those who are in difficult situations, those who are suffering, those who don't know God's love. Or again, maybe offer it for those that we're upset with, we're fighting with. In our almsgiving, give to the poor, the needy. Fulfill that most basic call of our Lord. Again, Teresa of Calcutta sets the example, taking care of the poorest of the poor. We need to take care of the poor in our midst. I thirst. Very, very powerful words. As we continue in our Lenten journey, as we continue in our hour of prayer tonight, pray with them. Sit with them. Ask the Lord to help you understand the thirst he has for you, for your soul, for your life. Receive that love and offer it to others.